So our gospel lesson today includes the story of what we call the widow's mite. It's well known. It's often someone's favorite Bible story, but as is the case with most well-known and well-loved Bible stories, it is often widely misunderstood, often dismissed, or taken for granted, and I'm not sure which one of those is worse. As we just heard, the story takes place with Jesus outside the temple in Jerusalem where he's ready for a break from teaching. So he sits down to watch the rich and famous as they enjoy their status. They act as if they're walking the red carpet waiting to be interviewed. The way they've come dressed up in their finest clothes, gesturing dramatically to the crowd as they make their way to the best seats in the synagogue, or they walk over to the chairs at the head banquet table where they throw their cloaks over a seat so that after Shabbat service, they'll have the best seats in the house. But even before all that, they stop first to make their offering at the treasury located outside the temple. Now, the temple treasury was not some small offering plate like you receive every Sunday morning. It's not some ordinary wooden box. No, the temple treasury was made of metal, shaped with a bell at the top that forced the coins being tossed in to cling and clang all the way down. So Jesus is sitting outside across from this metal offering receptacle. He's observing how the crowd tosses money in the collection. And he notices that many of the rich are making large contributions. Now, how does he know that? Well, it's because he can hear it. He doesn't have to see it with his own eyes. As they toss their coins in there, it rattles and clangs and makes a big sound. And trust me, they tossed it as high as they could to make sure it went in so it made as much sound as possible. Think noisy Sunday times however many you want to times it by. And here sits Jesus, profoundly unimpressed by what he is seeing and hearing. When an elderly woman identified as a poor widow comes to the treasury and quietly deposits two small coins. My guess is she went there and put them against the side and let them slide down so that no one would hear how little she had put in the plate. Well, each of those two coins is worth about half a penny. The old word for the coin she deposits is a mite, and there's not much noise in a mite. But the noise is such that Jesus gets up to praise her for her generosity. It is this gesture on Jesus' part that introduces a concept that we are very familiar with today, the concept of proportional giving. The idea that our gifts to God are not given value by their raw buying power, but by their portion of the total assets of the giver. This poor and elderly woman is praised for giving all she has, while the rich and famous are condemned for giving small, perhaps even minuscule portions of their great wealth. This lovely story provides us with a powerful principle, making it almost impossible not to preach about our financial giving, so I'm not going to try. The topic of our financial giving to God is an important one. And in the U.S., most congregations have entered what we call the stewardship season, just as we have. It's a time when churches make appeals to their members for raising funds for the coming year's ministries and expenses. But friends, it is about so much more than raising money. In thinking about this story and the concept of giving, I have been led to share with you this morning a heresy. I think giving is actually a bad idea. I'm coming out against giving in this sermon, and before the stewardship committee faints, let me say it is my hope that after you hear me out, you will give up on giving too, to follow the path that the widow in this gospel has cut for us. The first reason that I'm against giving is that we can only give things that are ours. We have to own before we can give. For centuries, God and the language of our faith has referred to us as stewards of our resources, so that what we do with money is called stewardship. You've heard the term stewardship here before. What you may not remember hearing is that stewards are managers. That's the literal meaning of the word. And managers are not owners. Managers are people who handle resources on behalf of the owner. Managers act in the interest of the owner. Now, this isn't just a case of religious semantics, because the owner here is God, from whom all blessings flow. The wealth of our household is not ours in any permanent sense. It passes through us. Our money and our resources existed before we did, and they will continue to exist after us. We manage them, but we don't own them. It's like owning a parcel of land and a river runs through it. You can own the land, but not the river. The water is here and gone. And that's why we are called stewards. So what we do with our resources is called stewardship, because we are to manage our resources and be stewards of them in the interest of God, the owner. Of course, because of our human nature, our first question is usually, how much? How much am I supposed to give? How much am I supposed to hand over? And before you even begin to try to answer those questions, I want to tell you that those are the wrong questions. For those are the questions of owners, not stewards. If you open an account with a financial broker, would you be surprised if the broker asked you how much of the account he or she was supposed to invest? Of course not. You would expect them to manage all of it on your behalf, to invest all of it in your best interest. Friends, that's the way it is with God. Would Jesus say that we are to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, and 10% of our income? I doubt it. To talk about giving creates the impression that we are the owners, who can choose to give or not to give. But the truth is, we are managers. And the only relevant question is whether we manage our money well or poor in the interest of God, which is where the story of the widow's mite comes in. One popular interpretation of this story is that it's a celebration of smallness. We look at her tiny gift and marvel at what God can do with a little bit. We do the same thing with the story of the mustard seed and the story that Joan read for us today. When we think back, it's about having just a little bit of faith. Friends, that is not true. The gospel is not about little things. It is about big things, big, audacious, impossible things. We are to manage all of the assets given to us, spiritual, financial, and otherwise, in God's best interest. The point is not giving some portion of what we have to God's work, but managing all that we have with God's interests at heart. It seems to me there is another deeper problem with the idea of us being givers. Giving is not a relationship. Not long ago, I was part of a mission team that went into a community in West Virginia to help out people in substandard housing. There were supplies needed, personal items they lived without that we wanted to give to the cause, which naturally cast us in the role of potential donors to the project, givers, if you will. Now, the leaders of that mission taught us an important lesson about all of this. Because on this trip, we were told that giver is not the right word. We were not there to give. We were there as investors, investing in the lives of the people of that community. We were entering into relationship with them. Now, I am certainly willing for money to do its part and for it to change hands in that kind of relationship. No one could deny that was why we were there. But I wasn't there just looking for some place to dump excess cash or time. Giving implies a one-way transaction, and I wanted something more, something in return. I wanted a sense of doing something worthwhile. I wanted to do something with the money that would make a God-centered difference in the people of that place and in our own church at home. I wanted a relationship in which I could learn and grow. I wanted to be involved in something that would stretch my faith and deepen my experience of Jesus Christ. I was not there just to be a giver. I was there as a buyer. I wanted to give something and I wanted to receive something. And isn't that true of all of us? We don't just send our money hither and yon looking for tax deductions. We want some sense of doing the right thing, of doing good, of serving God and making a difference. And that makes all the difference. But I think the biggest problem with giving is that it's a verb. That word is a verb. It is something we do, which implies that it's something that we can do sometimes and sometimes not. Sometimes it happens and it doesn't always have to happen. So that our giving falls into the same category as, say, running, or cooking, or smiling, or working, or singing, or flossing. It is something we can do, or we can simply forget. It's something that can be done, and when it's done, we can move on to something else, but that's not how it works. It's not how it's supposed to work. Do you think you can love your neighbor once in a while and satisfy the expectations of our Lord? Is loving a verb like that? Can you say that you fed Mrs. Smith's cat while she was gone? Or feigned interest in a boring dinner party and thereby took care of loving your neighbor for this month so you don't have to do it anymore? By the same token, can you drop a few dollars in the plate and take care of giving for the week? I don't think that's the point of loving or giving. For loving and giving are not only verbs, they are also adjectives that describe our lifestyle and the lifestyles we were made for. Friends, life is meant to be lived outward toward the world, not inward toward ourselves. Life works best when we do it that way. We are, in fact, created for something better than giving. We are made for generosity. Beloved, we are hardwired for generosity because we are created in the image of a generous God who is fearless in giving to us. Generosity is to be given and lived fearlessly. You give the last portion of food that you have. You give the last dollar in your pocket, the widow's mite. You give and you give fearlessly. When you live that way, it shows. It shows in your faces and in your smiles and in your lives and in your offerings. Friends, stewardship is about the way we live. And the key to a life of stewardship is generosity. Fearless, overwhelming generosity. And so I pray that that is the way all of us will live. Amen.